what I'm going to do tonight, I'm really going to just do something that we don't often do in church, and that's just look at basically who we are. And I thought it's a really good opportunity with a team going and leaving. It's a reminder, actually, of who we are. So I'm gonna preach a word that I've preached a while ago in one of the morning services, literally just about who we are as Shofar, but not just as Shofar, as the Church of Jesus Christ, but then also in terms of that, what is my individual response in terms of that? So I'm going to, let's just go to the next slide then. Let's just have a look at what our church's vision is. Maybe before I say that, before I look at that, you guys know about the missions that we're doing now in Nepal and Lesotho. There's a possibility next year, April, for a mission to China, and we'll see, try and we can get something somewhere to go during June as well. We obviously want to go somewhere, so I'm not promising anything, but we'll see where we go. There's obviously Stellenbosch doing a lot of missions. Have we ever showed you guys the DVD clip regarding the missions that the Shofar Group has done in the past 12 months? Okay, maybe I should have showed it tonight. I don't have it yet, unfortunately. I think we'll show it in a while, but it's really, I can't remember the exact figure, but it's more than 100 teams from all over Shofar that is gone somewhere in the last year, and that's just the international missions. It's not just the local ones. So it's really something that I want you guys to be aware of in terms of who we are and what our DNA is like. I mean, we don't talk that much about it in church because this is always something else that the Lord wants us to talk about. But I really believe it's sometimes important just to come back to just what's the vision that God has given us. And we're going to have a look at this stuff, and you'll see it's not different from the Bible. It's not different from the calling of the church in general. It's actually the exact same thing. But I think it's important that we still just look at it. It's something we talk about in our perspective course, our second foundation course. Let's look at it. In terms of our slogan, it feels like I'm doing an advertisement, yeah? It's not what I want to do. We say it's the whole gospel to the whole world, and then it gets a bit more specific in terms of the vision to reach nations and generations through disciple-making, leadership development, and church planting. Now, I think it's relatively comprehensive in terms of what our vision is, but it's also not something that's just plucked out of the air. It's not like we decided, oh, okay, I think this sounds good, or that's what we're going to do. It's really more fundamental than that. It really comes back to what is church about. It comes back to what is the reason for the existence of the Church of Jesus Christ. And so what I want to do right at the start, I want you guys to see that. I'm going to come back to that. But I want us to, right from the start, just get our hearts right in terms of our own individual focus regarding this. I mean, all of us sitting here, we are, if you're not a member of this church, you're most probably a member of another church somewhere, and that's fine. But within that church, or within this church, there's something specific, obviously, that God has for you to do. We spoke about that earlier this year in terms of your own role within it. But I want you to see the bigger picture in terms of Jesus' plan with the church. And then, what is your heart? What is your heart towards it? Think about it. What is my heart towards it? And I think it's really important because the church ultimately is the continuation of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And we're going to see it in just the next one there in Luke 4, verse 17 to 21. It's Jesus speaking in his own little town. They gave him a scroll to read, and he opened it they gave him actually the scroll of Isaiah, and he opened it until he found this. And it's my personal words would be it's almost a bit of a job description of Jesus as he reads this, a prophecy from Isaiah. And so let's read. He said, "I unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' He rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.'" It's actually a very powerful piece of scripture where Jesus shows there that he himself is the fulfillment of that scripture. And what he does there is ultimately the ministry of the church. Jesus' ministry didn't stop the moment he died. Jesus' ministry on earth didn't stop the moment he rose from the grave and he ascended to heaven. Jesus' ministry still continues today, and it's continuing through the church. And so just regarding one or two of the things that the Lord did there, just want to mention it again. It says that it's good news to the poor, liberty to those who are captive. And don't just see it in a physical sense. I really want you guys to see it in a spiritual context. Good news to the poor, liberty to those who are captive, sight to the blind, liberty to those who are oppressed. And then at the end, the year of the Lord's favor. Now, the year of the Lord's favor, you might know from the Old Testament, every 7 years they had one, and then every 50 years they had a major one where it was literally a year where everyone's debt was canceled. So it's a system that God instituted for the Jews, which they never adhered to. Maybe it's just a bit of an interesting thing to throw in here. If you look at all the amount of years that they had to do it, which they never did, it amounts to the 70 years that they were in exile. So that's one of the reasons why God sent them out for 70 years into exile. But I'm going to confuse you by talking about that for the rest of it. But it's really talking ultimately about the Lord's grace. And coming back in terms of our own lives, our own sin, and we sang the whole night basically just about that. The fact that God came and he forgave us. He proclaimed over us the acceptable year of the Lord. And I think most of us who sit here, I can't say most of us who sit here, all of us who sit here, at some or other stage in our lives, we were that poor person. We were that broken person. We were that captive person. We were someone who were blind, in need of the Lord's grace, in need of the liberty that he's given us. Now, I really, again, want you guys just to think about the people who were involved in your life who brought you to the point of Christ. Because it's something we often forget. I mean, we sing about what Jesus did for us, and we're so thankful about it. But what the Lord wants to say to us tonight is, okay, freely you have received, now freely give. Freely you have received, now freely give. It's one of those things that so often it just struggles to click in our minds and to click in our hearts, where we constantly just focus on the receiving end of it. But the Lord wants something to happen in our hearts. But the fact that we receive something, therefore we respond in a certain way. And it ultimately gets to the point of the continuation of the ministry of Jesus Christ, where we don't just receive what we get from him, but we start to walk with him and alongside him. And really getting to the place where we can serve him in terms of that. And so like I said, the church needs to continue with the ministry of Jesus Christ, where he wants to make people free, where he wants to open their eyes and really pour his grace upon him, upon them. And when I say it's the ministry of the church, that obviously means it's the ministry of the people in church that God wants to do. And I think it brings us to the Great Commission that Jesus gave to disciples in Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. He says, "They go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." So I just want to remind you guys, think about it in terms of your own heart. What is my heart towards God's plan for the church? What is my heart towards Jesus' ministry? Just keep that in the back of your mind, and we'll take it from there. Acts 1 verse 8, it's not on the slide there, but it ties in with this. It says, "Then you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem." And then he goes out in Judea, in Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. And I really want to, what I want to do is I want to compare this, Matthew 28 and that Acts 1 verse 8, with what our own vision is like. And it's actually so clear ultimately to see that it is exactly the same in terms of what our own church group vision is. And we said there's the whole gospel to the whole world. And if we look at it just in Acts 1 verse 8, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, even to the ends of the earth, it's exactly the same thing again. The Lord's gospel is for everyone, and he wants everyone to hear the gospel. So it's really our heart that in terms of that what we do, that will give the whole gospel. And when we say the whole gospel, we're talking about the whole counsel of God. We're not just focusing on deliverance. We're not just focusing on healing. We're focusing on everything. We're not just salvation, the whole counsel of God. So it's a obviously a responsibility that we take up in terms of that. But yeah, that's the one thing. And then obviously to the whole world, I think it's quite obvious that that is Jesus' heart. And then the next one there, to reach nations and generations. We'll talk about the rest one, the rest of that slogan there in a minute. But then obviously, it's again what the Lord wants to do. Going out into the nations, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Jesus, the Son and the Holy Spirit. But mind played a trick there. In any case, so it's really, yeah, our own vision in terms of what God has for us is not just something out there. It's really what God's plan is for the church. And I mean, I'm talking about the Shofar family, but it's not just Shofar. That is the mission and the vision of the church. That is something that we must do. That is something that God has for us. And I know there's a lot of people, or a number of people, maybe I shouldn't say a lot of people, but there are some people who come to us and I'm not going to say they join us, but they love, they know they need the fellowship of the saints, so they come to us, but they're not really fussed about the whole vision thing, the whole thing in terms of where we're going. I simply want to say to you guys, having something like a vision, like a mission statement, is really important. Simply because it focuses us in terms of why we are here. It focuses us in terms of what is really important. So, it's the fellowship that we have with one another is really important, but it's way more than that. We don't just come together for the sake of fellowship. We come together for the sake of the purposes of God. And that's why things like the purpose statements and those things are actually very important. So I want to encourage you guys. Also, a lot of you, if you haven't gone through our foundation courses, I really want to encourage you to do it. We talk about the faith, and we make sure we get to a place of agreement. And then in Foundation 2, our perspective course, it's really a place where we talk about who we are. What has God given us? And not just us then, but also what is church in general, and get to a place of cutting covenant and then walking together a road that the Lord has for us. So if you want to know us, that is actually where you must go. You must go through those courses. It's important, but that's a side issue. In any case. So like we did earlier this year, we spoke a lot about family, church being a family. And I think sometimes we get the purposes confused. You know, on the one hand, you'll look at 1 Corinthians and you'll see, okay, purposes of the gifts is to edify the body. The purposes of that is to edify the body. And look at Ephesians 4 at the end there. It also talks about the body building itself up in love. So it's just what I want to do is for you guys is just differentiate between sort of an internal focus and an external focus in terms of church as a family. We have got an internal focus. Our internal focus is to build the church up. But it's linked with our external focus. We should build the church up in order to reach out, in order to grow, in order to go out and do the stuff that the Lord has for us. And it's really something too that really, really works together. And so I know I'm going quite quickly, but I really just want you guys to see that, or we often get confused. But for tonight, I want us to focus simply on the outgoing, the inward part, the edifying, the family thing. I think we spoke quite a lot about that this year. So I'm not going to speak about that. It is still important. I'm not saying it's not important. It is still important. But tonight, just in terms of the greater picture, where is the Lord leading us? What is His plan for us? And that obviously is to reach out and to go to the nations. Regarding the rest of the vision that we've got there, we said to reach nations and generations. Then we've got there through discipleship making, leadership development, and church planting. That's not really vision anymore. That's talking about strategy in terms of the whole gospel to the whole world, to reach nations and generations. Okay, but how? And we're going to do that through disciple making, leadership development, and church planting. That as well, it's not something we just plucked out of the air. I mean, Jesus himself said in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, we must go and make disciples. And if you missed that whole thing, we speak about discipleship and again in our foundation courses. It's really not just about teaching people what to do, but also teaching them how to do it. And I don't know whether any of you were here when Ross spoke about discipleship just before the conference, the evening services. If you can get those services or sermons, it's really, it's really quite powerful stuff. In any case, Again, it just compares to what the Lord has for the church, our own vision. And then stuff like leadership development and church planting and the making of disciples. If you just look at the life of Paul and what he did and how he approached it, that's what he did. He had people walking with him. Timothy is an example. Spent quite a long time with him, traveled with him, raising leaders, and then ultimately, everywhere he got, he was planting churches. You need another arm there, Helmut. And you guys, okay. Everywhere he got, he planted churches. And so it's really our heart to raise leaders that are able to go out and to plant churches. I'm going to speak a little bit at the end just about us being a church planting movement and the influence that it's having on us at the moment. But yeah, in any case, it's really something that the Lord has for us. And I want you just simply to understand that God's heart for the world, or God's plan for the world, his vessel to reach the world is church. He hasn't got another plan. That is his purpose. That is what we are here for. We are here to go out and to reach out and to reach the nations. And so the question ultimately that we have to get to, obviously within that, is, okay, what is my role? What am I to do? If I'm a member of the church, and God's plan for the church is to go out, to reach the nations, to reach the generations, because I'm part of this, what is my role? And I think we can obviously make that in all sorts of different areas. There is a personal responsibility we have to the guy staying next to us and all those sort of things. I want us to keep the whole concept just a little bit more general tonight. We're talking about us as a church going, and I'm referring to the Nepal missions team that we are sending out. And just to keep the focus slightly wider, Romans 10, verse 13 to 14, just want to show you two role players that we have in terms of outreach. Am I speaking quickly tonight? It feels like it. Okay, let me slow down. Romans 10, verse 13 to 14. Okay. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? First role is obviously someone who's preaching. Now, preaching is a bit of a narrow-minded word there, or narrow-minded, I guess is the wrong term, a narrow word in terms of understanding. It's more than just preaching. It's just simply, it's talking about witnessing, someone using the mouth to talk. And we often read the scripture, or well, we don't read the scripture. We think about what the famous guy said, Francis von Assisi. He came up with a powerful slogan, but it's a half-truth. And I mentioned this before, where he said, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. And it's important, obviously, our lifestyle must conform to what we say. But ultimately, if we want to reach out to people, we're going to have to speak. Someone is going to have to stand up and speak to them. So the first role player in terms of reaching out is someone who preaches, someone who witnesses, both in terms of lifestyle and in terms of mouth, someone who actually goes to tell. Someone who goes. And 1 Peter 3:15, it's a famous scripture we all know, where it just talks about the fact that we must all be prepared to witness regarding the hope that is inside of us. I think it's something that we all must always be ready for, even in our own work situations, wherever we are. But again, let's keep it a bit more general. One of the two role players that we have got in terms of reaching out is someone goes, someone's actually going to go and talk about it. Second one is Colossians 4 verse 3 and the 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 1. And as Paul speaking here says, and at the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. And then 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 1. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you. And the second minute, I don't want to say it's the only two role players, but it's two really, really important role players in terms of reaching out. The first one, like I said, is someone actually goes. And then the second one is someone prays. It's the role of the intercessor. I don't know how many of you know Reinhard Bonnke. You know Reinhard Bonnke. Okay, Reinhard Bonnke, for those of you who don't know him, he's a German guy. Many years ago, the Lord called him to be involved in evangelism in Africa. And he's one of those guys who's really got a massive, massive vision. And just to give you a bit of an idea of what he's accomplished in this last year, or last decade, from 2000 to 2010, in that decade, through his ministry, 46 million people gave their lives to Christ. Now, it's not just the typical thing of, do you want to believe in Jesus? Yes, I believe in Jesus. And they count their hand. That's not what they do. What they actually do is they do the altar calls. He's got, I don't know if you've ever seen some of his pictures from his crusades. It's masses and masses of people. I think some of his biggest crowds was like 2 million. But they've got like 100,000 or 200,000 facilitators there who work with the guys who actually gave their hearts to the Lord, and they make sure that those guys are linked with the church afterwards. So it's not just a random evangelist doing a crusade and some people get saved and they walk off and they count the salvations and you're not really sure. Those are people who connected with church. 46 million in one decade. And that's obviously been just the last decade. He's still continuing. But it's what he did, he couldn't have done. He's got a massive core group of intercessors who's always, always praying for him. Always, always praying for the work that he does. And I'm not saying we should do it in that sort of style. I'm an evangelist. I go into Africa. Do it on your own. We'll see in a little while. That's actually not how we do it. And it's also not how he does it. But it's, again, I want to just bring it back to us as a church. If we really want to be successful in reaching out, if we want to be successful in sending out a Nepal missions team and expecting a successful report back, we who's remaining have to pray. And we have to pray not simply because we have to pray. We have to pray because it is us going. It is us going. They simply represent who we are. So in that sense, I was going to say it at the end of the service. Maybe I should stop here. But I am going to contact some of you guys in the week. And if you just want to be willing to do it, you just be on the prayer team for the team going. You guys are welcome to contact me. But we're going to get a prayer team who's going to focus specifically for the while that they are there. We'll pray for them because it's really such an important thing. Someone has to go, but then there's someone who remains behind and who is the person who prays. And again, really want you guys to understand this. If you send out a team, it's us going. We are all part of what's going to happen there. We're all going to partake of the fruit that God's going to establish through just them going. So, again, I think regarding this, the one question that we must again come back to is, okay, what have I to do? What am I to do regarding this whole thing? Regarding the fact that we need to reach out, to people out there. And I think so one of the things that I've also found in it, I found it in my own life, but I think it's something in general in church that we see quite a bit, is that we look at people who are unsaved and we tend to hate the lifestyle, we tend to hate them. And hate is maybe a bit of a strong word, but it's really what happens. It's in that sense where we're not, something in us is not agreeing with the heart of Jesus Christ. It's a funny thing for me, really, because if you just think about ourselves, our own lives, a year ago or 2 years ago, or a guy like Helmut who 20 years ago got saved, your life before that, it's exactly the same than the lives of the people that, well, not the people we hate, the lives we hate of what's happening out there. And it's really something that I want us to, again, just check our own hearts. What is my heart towards the Great Commission? What is my heart towards the fact that God has for his church the purpose to go out and to reach the lost? Because he loves them. He wants to pour his grace upon them. He wants to heal them. And let me leave that. I'm not gonna talk about that. The question that we have to ask ourselves is, have I committed myself to God's outward plan for his church? It's easy to commit yourself for God's inward plan for his church because the benefit we experience from it is so much. But have I committed myself to God's outward plan for his church in terms of what he wants to establish regarding salvations? Paul, a guy who really committed himself to God, I mentioned this scripture a few weeks ago, one of the evening services before the conference. I'm not going to talk too much about it. Colossians 1, verse 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church. And I said last time it's a weird scripture because it just sounds blasphemous, because he's filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Simply just going back to what I said last time, what is lacking in Christ's afflictions is not anything in terms of what Christ did. It's simply that the rest of the world doesn't know what Christ did for them. That's the thing that is lacking. And that's the thing that really drove Paul in his life, reaching out, going out, talking about the love of Christ. And I think maybe just to say this, we do talk, and we're at the services where we ask you to think about where do you want to serve, where do you want to be, what do you want to do within church, and those sort of things. And I think we often look at those roles we play in church and we limit ourselves to that. And I want to say that even those things that we do still has at its heart to reach out. Whether it's doing hospitality, whether it's being involved in Kiddush Church, it doesn't matter. At the heart of it is to reach people, to reach souls. And so I want us, again, to just think in terms of our own minds, to shake ourselves a bit, not to be too narrow-minded in terms of the roles we play. One of the things that always is weird to me, we see it in parents who've got babies, and it's often the husbands, if the baby's got a nappy or something, they don't want to get involved. And the way it's supposed to be is that in terms of that specific thing, you approach it and you see something needs to get done. I'm the first one who notices that something needs to be done, so I'll do it. Okay, so it's but then I just want to use it as an example in terms of how do we approach the reaching out, because we often get stuck in our own roles and our own things in terms of what we are and who we are. And I mean, it's the same for me. I'm not a very evangelistic person. I'm a lot more pastoral and stuff, but God's purpose for the church is still to reach out. And if there's something that needs to be done and I see it needs to be done, then I do it. And I just want us to just have that understanding in terms of how do we approach it. So again, that question, have I committed myself to God's outward plan for his church? And then ultimately, what is my role in it? And I really believe that we as a family, we're not just existing to build ourselves up. We're really existing to see more people come to the knowledge of Christ. And we don't send a team to Nepal because we want a show for our church in Nepal. A show for church is not going to fly in Nepal. We're sending a team to Nepal because we want the church established in Nepal. And I'm talking about the church in general. So it's outreach to add people to God's house. Not to shofar, to God's house. And just a greater concept in terms of what we want to do. Really being at light on the hill. Then just one of the last scriptures I want to look at is Acts 13, verse 2 to 3. And it's where Paul got sent out, Paul and Silas. Paul and Barnabas. Got sent out by the church in Antioch. And there's a lot that we can actually learn from this. And before I say that, just a little bit of background regarding Paul. Most of you know his story, the fact that he, on his way to Damascus, the Lord took him off his horse, if I can call it that, and really met him, and he got saved there. And after that, there's a lot of stories about what Paul did. Most of the stories God told him a lot of interesting stuff that God showed him, that told him there. But just God specifically gave him his vision in terms of what his purpose was going to be, that he was going to be the apostle to the Gentiles and those sort of thing. And the Lord gave him still one of those words that I just shake my head when I read it. The Lord telling him, I'm going to show you the things that you're going to have to suffer for my sake. And it always works my mind a bit thinking about it like that. But in any case, spent a few days in Damascus. He had to escape. And I went back to Jerusalem, ultimately established himself in Tarshish, where he grew up, which is close to modern-day Turkey. And after a very long time, some people actually, they estimated to be about 14 years, Barnabas went and took him from there and took him to Antioch. And in Antioch, he spent a year before this happened. So it's not like Paul just received his mission and immediately he went and what he did. There was there was a long time. He didn't just do his own thing. So he says that while they were worshiping, he's talking about the church in Antioch, worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. And I really believe this is an important text in terms of understanding church vision within the context of the Great Commission and seeing it really in action. And the first thing is, I mean, even Paul himself, we often look at Paul and we see the individual, but we don't see what's behind the individual. And Paul himself didn't just do his own thing. He didn't just go out and preach the gospel. He was sent out by the church. He waited until the Lord said, "Okay, now is the time. Now you go." And so he was sent out by the church after the Holy Spirit spoke specifically. And I think what's important with this is he was sent out by people who didn't go with him, but by people who completely supported the ministry that God had for him. I'm not talking in terms of financial sense. I'm talking about they supported reaching out to the nations. So he didn't just go on his own. He went with the church's blessing. He went with the church's support behind him. And obviously, prayer support. And I really see the church in Antioch as a church who understands God's plan for the church. The fact that someone has to go, but if I'm not the one going, then I'm going to be the one praying. Maybe sometimes it's the other way around. Maybe sometimes I'm the one going and someone else will be praying. But that is the plan for the church. Someone going out and someone praying. We know we need to go out. We know we need to reach the nations. God said, "Okay, Paul, okay, Barnabas, you go." So what we do is we stand behind them and support them all of the way. And the church in Antioch, obviously, was that for Paul. It's just interesting, every time at the end of his trips, he went back there. It was the base from which he did most of his missionary trips. And I think the success of that sort of approach, really having an understanding of God's idea for the church reaching out, we are part of the success of that. Because most of us sitting here, none of you here are Jewish, are you? If you are, I've got nothing against you. I'm just saying that most of us come from European backgrounds, which was Gentile. If Paul never went, we wouldn't be sitting here. That's just the success of how they did it. Paul going and the church supporting. And again, like I said it a while ago, I really want to say not everyone necessarily goes physically. Not everyone necessarily goes out to Nepal or goes out to India. And I don't want to say that's the only mission we do. There's obviously local stuff. We spoke about that, where we all can be more fully involved here. But in terms of going, not all of us goes physically, but all of us go spiritually. And in that sense, we can support and we can help. And I really agree with the mandate that the Lord has for us. So again, the question, what is my role? How do I support? And what does God want me to do in this time? I think regarding the Nepal mission, obviously for this stage, it's simply pray, because it's really us who goes. And so I think what I want us to do, just to end the service, and like I said, I'm gonna contact some of you guys, and if you are willing to be part of the prayer team, please contact me. But we are gonna set up a team who's gonna pray for the guys going. But I want you guys to stand up now and to just spend 3 or 4 minutes together, 3 or 4 people together, just pray for the Nepal missions team who's going. And pray for their protection, pray for God's guidance, pray for the Holy Spirit to give them the right words, pray for divine connection with people on that side. And pray for authority, that they'll just be able to speak with the word of God in boldness. Can we do that? Let's do that.